Coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, a team makes an addition to the roster. We'll talk about the position and who the player is. Plus, another player becomes officially available that maybe the Raiders will have some interest in. There's been a lot of speculation, but we'll talk about that. And fourth-round running back Zamir White, the young man out of Georgia, could he potentially be the starting running back of the future for the Raiders? That'll be part of the conversation. Your calls and texts will close out the show. It's all coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast for Tuesday, May 10th, 2022.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Win. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
You ought to win as a Raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
And welcome in, Raider Nation, to another edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Thank you so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find it free and available on all platforms. Planning to get to on today's show, segment number one, we always do the news and notes. And there was a lot of little notes and nuggets that rolled out on Monday, including this one. I saw this tweet. I thought it was pretty good. 8 years ago today, which was Monday, the Raiders drafted Derek Carr 36th overall. Andy Dalton is the only quarterback selected in the last 20 years in the second round to possess more wins, yards, and TDs. Carr ranks second in these categories. So I thought that was kind of cool. It's not a big major stat or a major nugget, but just thought it was kind of cool. And at the end of the day, you definitely got to give Derek Carr credit for being around as long as he's been around with the silver and black, brought that stability to the quarterback position. Of course, there's always going to be conversations if they should upgrade or not, but I like the little cast of characters that they have around him this year and can't wait to see what happens. But Derek Carr, he's second in all categories, only to Andy Dalton. And of course, that's not someone that you're like, hey man, Andy Dalton is the end-all be-all, because he's not. But again, these are second-round quarterbacks, and they're still around the league, and Derek Carr is a starting quarterback, and Andy Dalton is a guy that floats around the league now as a hired gun as far as a backup. So there you go. Derek Carr, give him a little bit of a tip of the cap, something I saw on Monday. Now into the real news and real nuggets that I have for you. The Raiders signed a linebacker on Monday. They signed free agent linebacker Kenny Young. And it's so funny. I was at an event for indoor football, the Indoor Football League here in Las Vegas. I was at this event and I put my phone on airplane mode because I was doing interviews. And so when you're doing interviews and recording them on your phone, you don't want to be disturbed by a call or a text or something that'll mess up your recording. So I always put my phone on airplane mode. As soon as I turned it off, I'm trying to walk out of this place, and it's a really nice place. It's called the Loan Center right here in Las Vegas, actually in Henderson, right around the corner from my house. And I'm walking out of this place and all of a sudden my phone's going off because I had just turned the airplane mode off. And that's when I got the alert that Kenny Young had signed with the Raiders. He was originally drafted by the Ravens back in 2018. He played in 59 games with 25 starts, 186 tackles, 5.5 sacks, an interception, 4 passes defense, 4 forced fumbles, 3 fumble recoveries. I mean, a lot of production right there. But in 2021, he played with the Rams and the Broncos, and he played in 13 games, started all 13 of the games, had 75 tackles, 2 sacks, a pass defense, 2 forced fumbles, and a fumble recovery. A lot of production right there. Young is a guy who gets banged up quite a bit, but I like the addition to the linebacking room. It's another position that we've talked about outside of corner that I thought was a big deal that they need to continue to address and provide some veteran leadership in there. Right now, if you look at the linebacker room, you got Denzel Perryman, Micah Kizer, Jayon Brown, Divine Diablo, and Kenny Young. Denzel Perryman, I can lock him in as a starter. I think Divine Diablo is going to have a major role in this defense. And then I think you have a competition between Micah Kizer and Kenny Young. I think Jayon Brown's going to be a specialist in this defense in that linebacking core. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to be tasked with trying to defend a guy like Travis Kelce and run with him, drop with him, and coverage. So we'll see. We'll see how it all shakes out. But I'm starting to like the way that the linebacking room is starting to shape up with the addition of Kenny Young. And then finally it happened. James Bradbury, the cornerback from the Giants, officially was released on Monday. Something I thought was going to happen on Friday. It did not, but the report came out. The Giants are releasing cornerback James Bradbury after failing to find a trade partner. The move will create $10.1 million in cap savings while leaving $11.7 million in dead money. The savings will be $11.5 million with $10.4 million in dead money this year and $1.4 million in 2023 if they make it a post-June 1st cut. Bradbury is eligible to sign with a new team because his release has already been processed. The teams that are apparently interested, according to multiple reports, the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Raiders, the Bengals, and the Steelers. I've said it multiple times. I'll continue to say it again. I think the Raiders need to add a corner that is a veteran just so they have that kind of leadership. They have that kind of guy that's already been there in the Patrick Graham system and the scheme. And I know many people are going to say that, oh, he's not going to fit with the Raiders. And I've heard that plenty of times. He can run whatever. You know, he can be a guy that plays in man. He can be a guy that that plays in zone, you know, but he's a guy that creates turnovers. He's a guy that has production. So really, if you're a defensive coordinator, if you're Patrick Graham, you do what makes him best. You put him in a situation to succeed. You know what I mean? You think about a guy who had four interceptions himself in 2021. The Raiders had six as a team. So if you get a guy like that, regardless of what scheme you think that you're going to run, you have a guy like that, you make sure you set him up for success. You put him in the best position. So I think that they should make a run at him. I don't know if they're going to. I really don't have any idea. I'll tell you this, that I think there's going to be many teams that are going to make a run at him. And if he just wants money and sign quickly, then the Raiders probably will not get him because they don't have a lot of cap space right now. Of course, they will have almost $20 million in cap space post June 1st. But as we all know, it is May 10th right now. So if he's looking to, you know, get somewhere and get comfortable real quick, fast, in a hurry, most likely it won't be with the Raiders. But if he's still around post June 1st, I can see the Raiders signing with him. And who knows, maybe they've already had those conversations with him and he's already come to the conclusion that he's going to come to Vegas. I don't know. Again, I'm just talking and thinking about the different scenarios that could take place. I think it'd be a great addition. I know everyone's not on board with me with that, and that's okay. You're always welcome to have your own opinion. I do appreciate that. But I think, for my money, James Bradbury would be a great addition to that Raiders secondary. So we'll see what happens. If it happens quick, it probably won't be the Raiders. If it drags on a little bit, it'll most likely be the Raiders. That's how I look at it. Final nugget I have for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast has nothing to do with a player that I think that the Raiders should take a look at, but a guy that a lot of Raider Nation wanted them to take a look at last year, and that's cornerback Richard Sherman. He's actually in really good deep conversation right now with Amazon about playing a key role in their program in this upcoming season. He said he's going to stay in shape for a possible NFL opportunity, but as of now, all eyes are on his broadcasting future. So I've said it multiple times, Amazon is really trying to be a player. They're doing a lot of big things. They're going out there and hiring a lot of people to be a part of their NFL broadcast, also being part of their NFL presentation. They're trying to grab a hold of this NFL thing and really run with this. So I would not be surprised. I don't know how quickly they're going to be successful with the NFL, but the NFL pushes itself anyway. You know, they already have the right to the Thursday night games. They have their broadcast team. Now all of a sudden they're getting guys like Richard Sherman. You're going to expect them to see a lot more players, former players, be part of that as well. As long as the money's there, these guys are going to go there. So look out. Amazon is coming for that NFL platform. Well, there's plenty of NFL to go around, and the way that the league does it and the way that they put themselves and make it an everyday event, just like this slow drip process with the schedule that they're doing all week long. You know, we found out on Monday that there's going to be two Monday night football games to start the regular season, but every day we find out a little bit more until Thursday when we find out the full meal deal. So if the NFL can do that and slow drip process everything, then there's plenty of networks to go around that will pick up NFL information and continue to feed the NFL a lot of money. That TV streaming money, all those revenue deals are going to keep these salaries going up and up and up and up, and that's just what it does. So Amazon's becoming big time players in the NFL, and Richard Sherman looks like he's going to be a part of that as well. So that's all I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Coming up in segment number two, going to talk about running back Zamir White. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN put out a little nugget, basically about all 32 teams, and when he got to the Raiders, he was talking about Zamir White, him possibly being the feature running back as early as 2023. We'll talk about that coming up in segment number two after I tell you about BetOnline.net. They're your number one source for all your betting stats and sports information. You can find out the latest sports development, league reviews, and news, including the NBA playoffs. Of course, I'm locked in on the NBA playoffs. It's a lot of fun. Major League Baseball is going on. The season's just really starting to get into the swing of things. It's always fun to check them out. BetOnline.net is your continued source for all your sports wagering information. They got live betting, playoffs, esports, and a whole lot more. All you got to do is go to the website today on your laptop or your mobile device, learn about the trends and all the action. BetOnline.net, that's where the game starts.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we go. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Want to talk about the Raiders' fourth round draft pick. That's Zamir White. They call him Zeus. He's out of Georgia. He was the number 122 overall pick. We talked about him last week when we were previewing and talking about doing a little bit of a deep dive into all the Raiders' draft picks, but had fun talking about Zeus and what he could potentially bring to the table. He's a guy that's overcome a lot of adversity in his life. He's a guy that's overcome a lot of injuries, including two ACL tears, but what can he potentially be? He was a fourth round running back. And so Jeremy Fowler of ESPN actually did a write-up, and if you have ESPN Plus, you could check it out. He did a piece on every single team in the league, and it wasn't a lot. It didn't say a whole lot, but it just picked out one thing, one element of the team. It's like one nugget on every single team, and that's what it was. And so when it got to the Raiders, he was talking about Zamir White. He said, fourth round running back Zamir White was an interesting selection. given the Raiders' depth at the position with Josh Jacobs, Kenyon Drake, Brandon Bolden, and Amir Abdullah. But with Jacobs and Drake entering the final years of their contracts, the Raiders see a potential long-term solution in White. Here's what I'm told they like about his game. Speed, power, leadership, battling through adversity comes from a winning program. Again, that's from Jeremy Fowler from ESPN. So he didn't necessarily say that Zamir White's going to be a guy that's going to take over for Josh Jacobs following this year. But if you just look at the tea leaves and realize how many running backs are in that stable that is called the running back room, he's a guy that could. He's also a guy that has a very similar running style as a Josh Jacobs, and there's other change of pace backs there. Right now, I've mentioned it multiple times, the only running back who's on the roster past this year is Brandon Bolden. He comes over from the New England Patriots. I think he's going to stick around with the team for a couple years, but I could see Zamir White being that guy as long as he could stay healthy. And if you think about it, we had someone who called the Locked On Raider podcast on Monday's show and was talking about Britton Brown, the 7th-round draft pick out of UCLA. They felt like he was very Latavius Murray-like. I kind of argue that I feel like Zamir White could be very Latavius Murray. Like, if you remember, Tay Train was drafted back in 2013 by the Raiders, number 181 overall in the 6th round. He was actually the 15th running back to be selected in that draft. The Raiders gave him a 4-year deal, and then right before the season started, they put him on IR. So it ended his rookie season before it ever started, and then he got into the action and was part of the roster in 2014. But really, he was sitting behind Darren McFadden and MJD, so he didn't get a whole lot of carries, didn't get a whole lot of love until week 11, when they finally said, okay, let's give this kid a try. He did pretty well against the Chargers. And then the next game, remember, the Raiders still hadn't won a game. That was that breakout game he had against the Chiefs on Thursday Night Football. That was also the game where Khalil Mack and who was it? Mario Houston? Was it Mario Houston? I don't know. It was Khalil Mack and somebody had jumped off sides, and Justin Tuck had to call that timeout, or else Kansas City would have got a first down. It would have been all bad. The Raiders probably would have lost that game. But Tay had a great game, right? 112 yards carrying, 2 touchdowns, had a big long run. It was in the rain at the Coliseum. And really kind of established who he was. And so he helped them get their first win of the season. And then eventually he ended up being the starting running back until 2017. He left and went to the Vikings as a free agent. But you see the cycle. You know, hey, there's a running back, a good one. Put him on IR, stash him for a year, then let him come back, be a guy, then use him up a lot, you know, get him involved in a lot of the action, and then move on from him. Let him go sign somewhere else in free agency. And to Latavius Murray's credit, he's still floating around the league. Hell, I thought that there was a chance even last year he might have had a chance to return to the Silver and Black last year, and he ended up signing with Baltimore and played against the Raiders at Allegiant Stadium to start the season off. But yeah, I look at Zamir White and I say, you know what? I see a lot of Latavius Murray in him. If Josh Jacobs is going to be in the last year of his deal, he could be the heavy lifter this year, and maybe Zamir White could spell him a little bit. Maybe they put him on IR. I don't think they would, because he's a 4th-round draft pick, and I think they'd want to get something out of him, but he just wouldn't get a whole lot of action. I don't believe you'll see him get a whole lot of action this year, but they'll get him primed for the position next season. And then most likely what's going to happen with him, he's a 3-year guy, 4-year guy, whatever the case may be, and then they move on from him when it's time for free agency. So I could totally see that. I don't think that we're going to start seeing any more where you're starting to see, unless it's a super stud running back, an elite guy, I don't think you're going to see running backs get too many contracts from the same team. The team that drafted them, I don't think you're going to see running backs get multiple contracts anymore. They just have devalued that position so much. It's a shame. I hate that. I love running backs. Just like Josh Jacobs, big fan of Josh Jacobs, but I could totally see them letting him walk after this season. It wouldn't shock me at all, and I don't think it would shock him either, knowing just the way that, you know, the value of the running back is very little right now in the NFL. But if you remember last week, I was doing the deep dive, a little bit of preview about all the Raiders draft picks, and they had 6 of them. So we had the 4th-round pick. I had Brooks Austin on. He covers Georgia like a glove. He was on talking about Zamir White, a.k.a. Zeus. That's what they call him. And I did ask him. I said, hey, man, do you think that at some point Zamir White, a.k.a. Zeus, could be the lead dog for the Raiders in that backfield?
I mean, like I said, it's such a short lifespan, right?
Right.
I mean, at the running back position.
Yeah.
I think they learned their lesson with Josh, right? Like, you spend look like a can't-miss prospect coming out of college. Mm-hmm. You spend a first-round draft pick on him, and then, boom, it's like, hey, we're 4 years into this. Got, you know, maybe a couple 12, 13-game seasons. We're really banged up kind of the whole time, right? Maybe a waste on a first-round draft pick on a running back, right? It's right. The whole league's kind of devalued it.
Yep.
Whereas you're sitting here asking me, we haven't even seen Zamir White take an NFL tote, but how many 4th-round backs have we seen second year in their contract actually be the guy?
Right.
So it's a great question as to whether or not he's qualified or capable. Absolutely. I mean, I do believe if you can be a 4.5, 4.2, 4.3 plus yards per carry guy in the SEC, you'll survive. if you're given the amount of totes in the NFL. Yep. I truly believe that.
So that was Brooks Austin right there. Covers Georgia like a glove, and a glowing endorsement right there of Zamir White. And if you missed that interview, it was on, I believe, what, Wednesday's show? Yeah, because he was a fourth-round pick, so it should have been Wednesday's show. Both fourth-round picks, Zamir White and also Matthew Butler from Tennessee, the defensive tackle out of Tennessee, were both featured on that show. So if you want to go back, if you missed it, check it out last Wednesday. You can get a full breakdown of who Zamir White is and what he brings to the table. But I'll tell you one thing. I root for guys like him, guys that have overcome adversity. That's similar to Josh Jacobs. Now, Josh Jacobs didn't have the same extremes that Zamir had, but he had his own extremes. You know what I mean? Like, he's overcome a lot of adversity. I have a lot of respect for Josh. Hated that I actually missed his camp that he had, his free football camp that he put on for like 300 different kids over the weekend. I hated that I wasn't able to be there, but I had a radio show to do, so there was just no way I could make it. But, man, I like Jacobs a lot, but I do think that the way that the NFL is going, and especially with the history of what you've seen Josh McDaniels do in New England as an offensive coordinator and have so many running backs, he just has a stable of those guys. I just kind of see them as guys that they're going to continue to cycle in, use them up, and then boom, rotate another guy in. One guy in, one guy out. Another guy in, another guy out. They're just going to continue to do that over and over and over. I don't think it's just New England. I don't think it's just going to be the Raiders. I think it's the whole league, like Brooks said, and something that we talked about quite a bit here. But, man, if Zamir White can give you 3-4 years similar to what Josh Jacobs gave you, I'd be okay with that. And, I mean, he was able to carry the ball at Georgia for, you know, 4 yards per carry, 4+ yards per carry. That's a good average. If you can get something like that, close to that in the NFL, you're cooking with grease. You know, Josh Jacobs was the guy who always found a way to get into the end zone. That's one thing I give him a lot of credit for. Zeus is really good at getting into the end zone as well. So I like that. You know, he has that strength and that power to be able to get it over the line and, you know, just hammer it in there. So maybe that's a role that you see him have this first year, his rookie year in 2022, and then maybe in 2023 he takes over as the lead back. But again, it all depends on staying healthy, being healthy, and then you got to see what Josh Jacobs does. If he balls out this year, maybe there's a chance that the Raiders bring him back on a one-year deal. But with that being said, the money is a lot, and that's why they turned down the fifth-year option. I mean, $8 million. Think about this. Zamir White's going to make about $3 million over the course of his whole contract that he has, about $3 million total, whereas Josh Jacobs is going to cost $8 million for 1 year if they had picked up that fifth-year option. So that's just the economics of it. That's why it didn't happen. But I'm interested to see. This will be something in training camp to pay attention to. What Zamir White's looking like, what kind of packages he's in, you know, when do they use him, all that good stuff in preseason. How much burn is he going to get in preseason, if any? You know, again, the goal is to make it to the regular season healthy. So I'm sure he'll get some burn in preseason, but I don't think he'll get a whole lot, especially if they have big plans for him. I don't think that they're going to want to try to use him a lot during the preseason if they think he's going to be a major role this year. Now, if they don't think he'll be a major role this year, maybe they'll use him quite a bit in preseason and then not use him much during the regular season, or completely stash him and then wait until next year to unleash him. Who knows? But I think training camp will tell you a lot about the expectations and how they plan on using Zamir White. So that's all I got for you for segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. What do you think Zamir White's role is going to be with the Raiders this year and moving forward? Definitely let me know about it, man. 707-654-4693. Before I get into your calls and texts, I do want to tell you about rockauto.com. Been talking about them for a very long time. They're a family business that have been serving auto part customers online for over 20 years. And the best thing about rockauto.com, everyone who hits me up talking about it always says, Q, I save so much money on rockauto.com. And that's exactly what they're going to do. You can go to a chain store, you can go to a car dealership, but you're going to spend a lot of money. Rockauto.com is going to make sure you save a ton of money. And they've been serving auto part customers for so long, you know that they're reliable. You know that they're not going anywhere. That's something that's very, very important. And they have just about every single part that you need. All you got to do is go to the website, rockauto.com, punch in what you need, what's your make and model, your car, and boom, it pops up, gives you your options. You can order the parts, it comes straight to your door. Simple as that. You never have to leave the comforts of your own home. Go check out the website today. Look for the parts that you need, rockauto.com. The only thing I ask you to do while you're there is a box that said, how'd you hear about us? Just write Locked On Raiders podcast. You write that, they know I sent you. They know I'm doing my job. They got a great selection, super low prices. All the parts your car is ever going to need is at one spot. That's rockauto.com.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast. Voicemail line 707-654-4693. Let's start things off with Raider Big C in L.A. He's calling to talk about what he's looking for as an event, then has a challenge that he wants to throw out there. Here's an interesting call from Raider Big C calling out of L.A.
Thank you. It's Raider Big C from L.A. You know, most people talk about the draft and look forward to that. Some people like opening day of the season. I love that. But what I look forward to is the NFL schedule. One, I get to plan my whole year after that. I got to find out. I got things to do. But anyway, why don't we do this? Suggestion. For the draft, we do all these mock drafts, do this, do that. Why can't we do like a predictive schedule? Simple. How many primetime games do you see the Raiders having this year? And we can go more and say, what do you see our week one matchup possibly being? And then the big games. You look at the schedule right now. You know, the Rams are going to be at hot ticket gate, the Chargers, who else we have. You know, you can just go down the list, but just throwing a suggestion. We do mock drafts, we do all these things, but let's do a mock schedule. Just see how many primetime games and what's our first week one going to be. Q, always keep up the good work. Raider Big C from LA out.
Raider Big C, thank you for the call, my man. And a mock schedule, huh? Man, we already had mock drafts. Now you're talking about mock schedule. That's a good one. I don't know about that one. That's going to take a whole lot of work, so I don't know about that. But I will say this. I did say this to Vinny Bonsignore over the weekend when I was hanging out with them. I said I thought that the Raiders were going to get five primetime games. Thursday night, that's a given, right? Every team's got a Thursday night game, so that's one. Sunday night football, I think the Raiders will play two. And Monday night football, I think they'll play two. I'll add this. I'll double down. I'll go a little bit further. I think that New England, New Orleans, and San Francisco will all be primetime games. Again, this is just thinking about the roster, thinking about Josh McDaniels, thinking about the expectations for the team and the division is why I'm giving them five primetime games. I know that that's a lot, but I do think that they'll get five primetime games. Again, I'll break it down. Thursday night game, two Sunday night football games, and two Monday night footballs. Not saying that they're going to be hosting all of those games, but the fact that those are going to be played in primetime. That's what I'm going to say. That'll be my guess. That's about as far as I can go and as close as I can get to doing a mock schedule for you. But I like the idea, but I mean, that's just way too much work, brother. But thank you so much for that call. I do appreciate you. Next up, got a text from Stabler's Ghost. Hey, Q, it's Stabler's Ghost from the Northeast. As always, your insight and coverage on this Raiders draft is on point and absolutely the voice of Raider Nation. I have an O-line question. If some pundits are right and Parham is getting a look at center, what becomes of Andre James? He just got paid and seemed like a good center. Is he flexible enough to slide to one of the guard spots? Seems like we can use every skilled lineman we can get. If he's only a center, it seems like we could be down a guy in that rotation. I know Cable worked mostly at center, and I'm not sure if he has worked at guard. I'd love to hear your take. I like the draft, and I'm pumped for the camp. Raiders. That's from Stabler's Ghost. Thank you for the text, my man. And yes, absolutely. If Andre James does not cut it at center, and if Dylan Parham does get the spot, and I do feel at some point he's going to be the starting center for the Raiders, Andre James can play guard. He can definitely slide to the guard position. Matter of fact, he hadn't been playing center very long until he got to the Raiders. So, yeah, I definitely believe that Andre James could slide over to a guard position if they find him, you know, to be one of the best guys. I think the competition is going to be so solid. That's the thing I'm excited about training camp as well. You know, normally we don't really lock in and pay attention to the offensive line like a whole lot. Last year we paid attention to it because we wanted to see if Alex Leatherwood, what he looked like since he was a first-round draft pick. But this year there's so many questions on that offensive line that I guarantee you when there's four or five of us out there at training camp, and there'll be a lot more than that, but there'll be a big huddle about four or five of us staring at the offensive line while we're in the period where we can actually pay attention to it, just seeing what they look like. Like last year I really focused in on the defensive line. Unique Ngakoue and Max Crosby, those were the two guys that I focused in on the most. This year, I just about guarantee it's going to be the O-line that I focus in on the most. But thank you so much for that text. I do appreciate you. Next up, got a call from my guy, Cyreezy in the Bay, calling to talk about the draft, give his overall thoughts and results on it, and then also talk about a position I've been talking about that he doesn't think that the Raiders really need to address. Here he is, Cyreezy from the Bay.
What up, Q? It's your boy, Cyreezy from the Bay. Yeah, I've been loving all the draft coverage and everything around it, man. This has been a really, really interesting year. Calling today to give you my thoughts on that. And also to tell you, man, it's a little too early to be pressing that panic button on the secondary. I can feel it. I can hear it in your voice. I'm here to tell you, man, just relax. Don't worry. It's all going to be okay. About the draft, you know, my first thought on it, if I had to put it in one sentence, is sometimes you get what you need, not what you want. I don't think this was the draft that maybe I wanted, maybe that a lot of us fans in Raider Nation wanted, just because it just was not a sexy draft by any means of the imagination. You know, it was really a big, ugly draft. It was all about those big men
in the trenches on both sides of the ball, and the dudes running the ball. Nobody was really a flashy player. We didn't see any wide receivers, any skill positions. I'm personally of the belief that in the modern day NFL, you're drafting a receiver every year, just because you kind of have to do that to keep pace. But hey, you know, McDaniels and Ziegler know a lot more about football than me, so I'm gonna go with them on this. But all in all, I mean, they got solid guys on both sides of the offensive and defensive line with the versatility that they had talked about. So they really seem to be practicing what they preach. The running backs weren't my first choice, but, you know, how can you not like a story like Zeus? I don't know about Britton Brown. I really don't know what he brings to the table or what they see in him, but, you know, it's a seventh-round pick. So, you know, hey, the difference between a seventh-rounder and an undrafted guy is really not that much. So we'll just see what happens. Maybe he's a special teams guy. I don't know. Now back to the secondary. I hear it in your voice, man. You're talking about James Bradbury because you're worried about Trayvon Mullen, and I know a lot of people are thinking about this too. I think that might be a panic button move. And the reason I say that is because Bradbury, even though he played with Patrick Graham in New York, is not necessarily what I think they have in mind for the Raiders, because you don't go out and get a guy like Rocky Sin, who's really best at press man coverage, and then pair him with Trayvon Mullen, who's also best in press man coverage, if you want to run a guy like like James Bradbury, who's really best at zone and who really is not good at all in man coverage. Watch a little bit of tape from some guys that are much better at watching tape than I am, and that was the consensus opinion, is that as good as he is in zone, he's as bad in man coverage. So, I don't know. I think Graham has different ideas. Maybe throwing it back to what he did in Miami. That's what I think. I don't know. What are your thoughts? Cy Reezy, I'm out.
There he goes. That's Cy Reezy from the Bay. Thank you for the call, my man. Definitely appreciate that. And, yeah, I mean, the draft definitely didn't have anything sexy about it, right? Offensive line, defensive line, and a couple running backs. Nothing's going to be sexy about that, but I feel like that they were very solid with their picks. You know, now, obviously, they got to go out there and perform and do their thing, but I think that they got some guys that can help contribute with this team. As far as being worried about the cornerback position, I'm definitely not worried. I just think that it would be smart to make this addition a cornerback position or addition to the squad. I don't think that they have enough depth at that position. It's something Patrick Graham talked about when he first met with the media as a member of the Raiders. You know, he talked about he wants to have plenty of cornerbacks to go out there and throw out there because they're in nickel so much. You know, he wants to have quality corners. And I'll say one thing, man. I know people say that James Bradbury can't play man or whatever and he's just a zone corner. I'll let you know, man, he's a playmaker. And Patrick Graham has had him in his system. And he's made plenty of plays, including 4 interceptions, 17 passes defense a season ago. I mean, he's had it where he can get it done. And so if you can get a guy out there that can get it done, I'm good with that. You know, that's up to Patrick Graham to set him up in a position to be successful. I think it'd be a great addition. But, hey, I understand a lot of people saying that, you know, they don't think he'd be a good fit. And that's fine. I'm okay with that. You know, you know me. You don't have to agree with me. I'm fine. I'm still going to give my opinion. I think that the Raiders need to add a veteran corner just like they had a year ago in Casey Hayward. And Casey Hayward ended up being their best corner that they had, their most consistent corner. And the other thing about a veteran corner, knows how to take care of himself and keep himself healthy. You know, and that's the one thing about Trayvon Mullen. Just don't know if he's going to be healthy or not. And if he's not healthy, then all of a sudden you have a limited Rocky Sin. And when I say limited, I just limited production. You know, he has all the potential in the world, hasn't really got things cooking yet. You know, you have Averett that they got from Baltimore. I mean, you have guys, Nate Hobbs, he might be able to play on the outside. Who knows? But he's also very good at the nickel. So, you know, I don't know. It's so many different situations that will play into it. But I just think that it would be a good addition for the Raiders to have that veteran presence. But I will have Brad Spielberger from Pro Football Focus on my radio show today at 2:10 to talk about how Bradbury fits with the Raiders and why he thinks he'd be a good fit in Patrick Graham's scheme with what the Raiders are trying to do. So that'll come up at 2:10 this afternoon. If you have a chance, go ahead and check it out. But thank you so much for that call. As always, I do definitely appreciate you. Final text comes from Balls Deep Raider. That's his name, so that's what I'm going to roll with. Definitely going to be the last text of the show. Sub Q, it's Balls Deep Raider. I'm watching highlights of the undrafted free agent, Bombadele Olasini, and I know I got his name wrong again. Just watched him go up against Kayvon Thibodeau and the guy the 49ers drafted, Drake Jackson. He bullied both guys. Was wondering if you got any info on why he went undrafted. Only reason I could think of is because he's 26. Hoping to get a deeper dive candidate for you. He's a monster. Looks like he can be a good player and can play both tackle spots. Thanks for your time, Q. Balls deep. Raider out. Thank you so much for that text, my man. I appreciate you. Very creative name. Can't get mad at that. Yeah, I don't know why he went undrafted. I will do a deep dive. I will go ahead and do some research. First, I got to find out how to say his name. I keep hating that. I keep saying, I know I said his name wrong. Well, damn it, do something about it, right? Figure out his name. Figure out how to say it correctly. And then we can go from there. So that's what I'll do. I'll get some information. I'll definitely bring it to the show. And we'll get a little bit of a deeper dive. Being 26 years old is obviously going to be something to do with it. It has a little something, something to do with it, but I don't think it's everything. Matter of fact, I know it's not everything. So I'll find out and bring someone to the table, bring someone to the show that can give us a deep dive on him, and we'll figure it out. But thank you so much for that. If they can get an undrafted free agent to be able to man one of those tackle spots and ends up being a really good player, then hell, they got themselves a steal. So good stuff. Good observation. Thank you for that text. I do appreciate you. And that's going to do it for today's show. You know, appreciate all the calls and texts, all the feedback we get off the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Again, in segment number two, I threw out the question, what do you see Zamir White? What kind of role do you see him being with the Raiders this year? And what kind of role do you think he'll have with the Raiders moving forward? This is also a question that I'll throw out on my radio show later on this afternoon, see what kind of feedback I get from that as well. So thank you again so much. I appreciate you. Thanks for making the Locked On Raiders podcast your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find the show free and available on all platforms. So till tomorrow, Raider Nation, stay safe, take care of your family, love on your family, and most importantly, as always, just win, baby.